Going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's like right out of the news report. This would line up with the headlines of our time. So nothing new under the sun. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't want to say a lot here. Brother Brian has something on his heart, I'm sure, but a couple of things jump out to me here, comparing it to our times. Verse 3, without natural affection. There's a whole political party bent on murdering babies. If you read 2 Kings chapter 24, you read about King Manasseh, it says how he shed innocent blood, and you look at verse 4, it says, which the Lord would not pardon. He wouldn't pardon Israel for shedding innocent blood. Where do we think we stand? Another thing, verse 6, all you young girls here, notice there are a lot of creeps in the world, okay? They creep into houses and lead captive silly women. There are a lot of creeps out there. The one that really stands out to me is verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, coming from no background of faith, and I have friends likewise, we've come into the kingdom of the Lord. We come into a church like Pleasant Hill and some others. And what wonders us is we didn't know the truth, and the Lord brought us to the truth. And now we see people who were taught the truth leaving the truth. That's a real burden. That's a burden I personally have, and some friends also have. Why is it that people were taught the truth want to leave it? And we're thankful that the Lord brought us to the truth. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
Good morning. We greet each of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title this morning is Surviving the Information Age. Surviving the Information Age. And I'd like to give you a little background on why this is laid on my heart. I was serving in another congregation recently, and a young man came up to me after the preaching service, and he said, "What's the greatest temptation that you think that young people today face that you didn't face while you were younger. This man was probably late teens. He was high school age, late high school, early college. What did I think is the greatest temptation young people face that I didn't face? How would you answer that question, you older brothers and sisters? I was impressed that the young man asked the question to begin with. He was a man that was searching. He was a man that cared about his spiritual life. And I struggled with the answer, because many of the temptations that young people face today, I faced. You know, the first thing that jumps to mind is pornography. There was pornography when I was a young man. Maybe we think of other sinful amusements. There were plenty of them around when I was growing up, too. Maybe we think of drugs and alcohol or gambling. There was plenty of that around when I was a young man. All these things were going through my mind. Maybe we think rebellion against authority. Plenty of that around when I was young. How would I answer this young brother who was looking for an answer? And the more I thought about it, the answer that I gave him that I think is one of the great dangers today, not only for young people, but for us older ones, is how to process the tremendous amount of information that we have. How are we going to live? How are we going to survive in this information age? Yes, we had pornography when I was a boy, but it wasn't so readily available. It wasn't at our fingertips like it is now. And that's the answer I gave him. I think everyone today has to fight a battle that I didn't have to face as a young man, of how just to deal and process and to tell truth from error of all the information that's available instantaneously today. We didn't have that when I was growing up. The information age is defined as a period of time in history with a widespread availability and access to information, and who controls that information. And I think we'd all agree here this morning on that information is immediately and easily accessible today. That's never been any time in history. When I was growing up in my home, if I wanted to know the answer to a simple question, like, well, who's the 12th president of the United States? Some wealthier homes had encyclopedias. We didn't have an encyclopedia. Some homes had books and things like that to refer to. We didn't have that. If I wanted to know, growing up, who was the 12th president of the United States, I'd have to go somewhere that had that information, whether it be a library, and then you had to search through, we call it card catalogs and Dewey Decimal System and microfiche and all that words that mean nothing to youth today. But it was a process. You had to want to know the answer to go through it. But now today, if you'd want to know who the 12th president of the United States is, in seconds, you could know it. The information today is so much and so easily available. It's a challenge for each of us how to manage, how to tell whether it's truth or error. You can get answers that quick, but are they true? And are they good? That's the challenges we face today, not only young people, but us older ones as well. Challenges and dangers living in the information age, I think, fall into three categories the more I thought about it. the danger of discerning truth from error. That's the first danger. You just have so much information constantly thrown at you. How are you going to tell what's true and what's not true? And as time goes along, it gets worse. And the text that Brother George read said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It speaks in that same text of people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Matthew 24:24 says, "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Information abounds. It's easily had. But I challenge you with the thought, who controls the information you're getting? We need to be very careful of deception. We need to pray for discernment, that we would know truth from error. The second challenge of living in an information age, I think, is the pursuit of knowledge. It can become all-consuming, can it? The pursuit of knowledge. And I'm not against knowledge. I'm not against education. I'm not against all that. But I heard a minister preach one time, and I don't know how accurate it is, but he said that people on average spend over 6 hours a day online pursuing knowledge. 6 hours a day. That's a lot of time in the pursuit of knowledge. It may be watching videos or podcasts. It may be on social media pursuing knowledge of your friends or family. 6 hours a day. We're warned about it, aren't we, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." There'll be a knowledge explosion, and that we're facing now. There's an information, a knowledge explosion. You know that part where it says many shall run to and fro. I hear people say that that's traveling from around the world, but I don't know that it's just that. I think that includes the pursuit of knowledge. Many shall run to and fro, spend their time in pursuit of knowledge. Might I also say in the pursuit of the trivial. The pursuit of the trivial. What do you really care what celebrities or sports figures think about things? What do we really? That's trivial. What do you really care about it for? What do you really care where people go on vacation or what they do? It's trivial. I question whether most of the things that we're pursuing really matter in the great scheme of things. The third danger of the information age is the overload of information. All the information that we have, and it's been proven, it changes our brains. It changes the way we think. It changes our emotions. Social isolation, right? You hear about it all the time. Never has the world been so connected, and never has man been so isolated. Inferiority. As you pursue trivial information about other people, does it make you feel inferior? You don't have what they have. You don't go on the trips that they go on. Inferiority. Fear of missing out. Are you missing out on something that everyone else in the whole world is experiencing? What about a sedentary lifestyle? As we pursue this information, we usually do it sitting down. What about addiction? Can that pursuit of information become an addiction? What about shorter attention spans? Can we just take our information in short 5 or 7 second blips? And we can't sit down and study or read a book for hours. What about increased reliance on external memory? Do you know all the phone numbers you used to know? I don't. More and more we rely on something else for our memory. What about divided attention, multitasking? Are we searching for information on our phone while we're supposed to be babysitting our children? Multitasking. What about sleep disturbances? You read about that all the time. All these results are from living in an information age. And we see it in our lives. It all hits so very close to home. I challenge you with this verse, and as I thought about it, it kept going through my mind. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful to me. All things are lawful to me. Now, that doesn't mean sinful things are lawful. But there's lots of things that we do that aren't sin. But it goes on to say, but all things are not expedient. They're not sinful necessarily, but they're not for our own good either. All things are lawful, but not all things are for our own good. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. Yes, technology and information is good. It's helpful. It's a blessing. But I think we also need to realize that there are dangers, there are temptations, there are snares to living in this information age. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. I spent all this time getting here, but I'd like to think about this morning, point number one, is how to discern truth from error. I'd like to give you this morning helpful ideas of how you can discern truth from error. You need it and I need it. How can you tell what's true and what's false? We know it's been something that people had to do from the beginning of time, right? Even Adam and Eve, they only had 2 bits of information. One was from God, thou shalt surely die, and one was from the serpent, thou shalt not surely die. It's all they had to deal with. But they had to discern truth from error. They had to decide which was true and which was false. And so it goes down through the ages. Man gets information and processes it, and he needs to decide whether it's true or false. It's an age-old problem. Turn, if you would, to Acts 17, Acts chapter 17. There's a case study there in discerning truth from error. Acts chapter 17. verse 16. I'd like to begin reading. Acts 17, verse 16. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city that was wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, What will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him, and they brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. We find here Paul in Athens. Athens was a city that information was in abundance. You can tell that without knowing anything about Athens from reading this portion of Scripture. They had many philosophers, many ideas. In the synagogue that day, there were Jews, Scripture says. There were devout Gentile worshipers that were searching for truth. There were false teachers, the Epicureans, and they believed in what we hear, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That was the Epicurean idea. There were the Stoics that believed everything was a god, good and evil. They were all gods. There were people, there were knowledge and information, and they thought it was a novelty. All they wanted to do was gain information. Information. They love to get new information. Sort of sounds like today. The search for new information. And here they were faced with the truth from Paul. He preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they had to make a decision what they were going to believe. Would they believe Paul, or would they believe all these other philosophers that were around? They had to make a decision. And so do we today. Oh, how we need discernment. We need to be able to tell when you Google something, whether it's true or false. When you listen to a podcast from a preacher, is it true or is it false? You need to be able to know that. If you don't, you're not going to survive the information age. With all the books that we have, with all the websites that we have, with all the Google searches and podcasts and commentaries and preachers, all this information that we take in all the time, over and over. But is it true? Is it true? Or are you being led astray? I tell you, not everything you hear, not everything you read is true. It's the first thing you got to get figured out if you haven't. If ever we needed the ability to tell truth from error, we need it today. And I think it's the greatest danger in the church today. I think that deception is far greater than persecution will ever be. I think deception and the falling away with it is far greater than laws and kings. I think it's far greater than false religions. It's a danger today in the church to young people and old people alike. How to deal and how to survive in the information age. Over and over again in Scripture, we're commanded to judge, discern, test, beware, prove, take heed. Jesus himself said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Prove there is like an assayer as he evaluates gold, whether it be true or false. It has to do with careful examination of the composition, careful examination of what it's made up of. And this morning, we're going to look at a few tactics that you can use to carefully examine information when it comes into your life and whether it's true and false. It's so important that you do that. If you don't do these things, you're not going to survive. If you don't do these things, you're going to be led astray. If you don't do these things, you will be deceived and you will perish. Truth is that important. Number one, to discerning truth from error, you have to have in your back of your mind at all times that you have an enemy. You have to remember that you have an enemy that wants to kill and steal and destroy. We forget it. But even in the information that we take in all the time, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. Sometimes that enemy comes as a roaring lion, and it's easy to see him then, isn't it? In persecution or something like that, it's easy to see our enemy. But sometimes Scripture says our enemy comes as an angel of light, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Recognize that we have an enemy. That enemy uses many ways to deceive us. In today's lesson that Brother George read, it talked about a form of godliness. A form of godliness. It talked about evil men. We have enemies. 1 Timothy 4 talks about seducing spirits, deceiving spirits, and false doctrines. We have an enemy. Acts 20:29 says there's grievous wolves, savage wolves in the church. We have an enemy. And our enemy means to destroy us by getting us to believe a lie. And perhaps the scariest of all our enemies is ourselves. The old man when it takes charge of ourselves. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That's scary. That's scary. That we ourselves can be our own worst enemy. Point number one, we have an enemy. Point number two, consider the source. Consider the source. When you're taking all this information in from wherever it is, from books or computers or wherever you're getting your information, consider the source. It's so important that you consider the source. Who's writing it? We're warned clearly about it in the passage that Brother George read there in 2 Timothy 3. Paul said in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. Consider the sores." Consider the sores. Goes on to say in verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Consider the source. The only 100% reliable source of information that you have, the only one that's right all the time, is God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. It's the only thing that you can put your trust in. It's right 100% of the time. It's completely truthful and completely without error. And these three things always agree. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John 1:14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth." John 16:3, "Howbeit when the Holy Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth." John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me," Jesus said. You see, they all line up because it's truth. What God says, what Jesus taught us, what the Holy Spirit leads us, and God's word, they all line up, they all act as one, and they're 100% truthful. And you can't say that of any other thing. So your search for truth has to both begin and end in the source of all truth. As we look at other sources of information, be very careful of those who don't preach the whole counsel of God. We're warned about that. Be very careful as you examine the sources of truth or who you're going to believe, what commentary you're going to believe, what preacher on the internet you're going to believe. Do they preach the whole counsel of God? Be careful of that. Watch for phrases like, "Does it really matter? Does it really matter?" Watch for those sources of information that try to spiritualize everything in Scripture. Try to write it off, like the holy kiss we were commanded, and some write it off as a handshake does the same thing. Be careful of that kind of stuff if you're getting your information from those kind of people. Be careful of those who say, "It doesn't apply to us today. It was for biblical times," when we think especially of the head covering. "I was taught that as a boy, and it was wrong, but I didn't know it." Consider the source. Are they preaching the whole counsel of God? Consider the source. What do they have to gain? Are they making merchandise of you? Are they making money on it? Consider the source. Consider the source of the lifestyle the author is living. I'm very, very leery of taking marriage counsel from some minister that's living in divorce and remarriage. And be careful of that. Be careful. Consider the source. Technology. I'm not going to speak much on it because I don't know a lot about it. But I've been made aware recently of a thing called artificial intelligence, and most in here probably know more than I do about it. But I did notice one thing. When I Googled something on my computer, the first thing that came up was AI generated. That scared me. Is everything you read on Google or Wikipedia necessarily true? Won't you be careful and consider the source? It must align with Scripture. It doesn't matter how assertive the speaker is. It doesn't matter how believable it is, how sincere he is. It doesn't matter with what energy or life he presents the information. If it doesn't align with what you know to be true, it's false. Consider the source. Point number two. Point number three. I believe you must have a love for the truth. If you want to know the truth, you have to have a love for the truth. What's your attitude towards the truth? Is it valuable to you? Do you really want it? Do you really desire to know it? Or are you looking for information? Are you picking out scriptures that support what you think is already true? Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 speaks of a people who perish in deception, and it gives a reason. It gives a reason why they perished. It says they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is your attitude in your search for the truth? Is it humble? Is it submissive? Do you have a hunger and thirst for it? Or are you just attempting to prove what you already believe is the truth? It's a trap when we do that. I find myself doing it at times. And we have to keep it in our mind. Do we want to know the truth? Do we really want to know the truth? Or we just want to support our position? I challenge you, it's one of the greatest areas of deception in the church to take verses out of context. Neglecting the whole counsel of the Bible. Only reading authors that support our position. Only going to hear speakers that tell us what we want to hear. And only having friends in our lives who think like we do. We all want that. We all have that natural tendency to slip into that. And I warn you, with all the information around, are you searching for the truth? Do you really want to know it? Or do you want to build your own position? I hear it happening here at times. And I find it in my own life many times over and over again. There's a danger in that kind of attitude. There's a danger. I know we already looked at this verse, but I give it to you again. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers. They shall look for teachers that tell them what they want to hear, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Point number three, if you're going to survive the information age, you must have a love for the truth. Point number four, are you willing to work? Are you willing to put the effort in that it takes to discern truth from error? You know, the scripture tells us about a people, and they're called noble, the noble Bereans, who received the truth. They actually got the truth. Paul and Silas gave them the truth. And it says they received it with a readiness of mind. But what did they do? They checked it out. They proved it against scriptures. It says they searched the scriptures to see if these things were true. Are you willing to pray and to meditate and search and study and evaluate the information you're receiving? Or do you just repeat it and regurgitate what you heard some preacher say? Something you read online. Do you assume the book that you're reading now to be true? Do you assume what you're reading on the internet is true? Or do you compare it all to the Word of God? You know, sometimes we preachers get it wrong. Sometimes teachers get it wrong. Sometimes parents get it wrong. Not necessarily intentionally telling falsehoods or telling an untruth. But sometimes our understanding is wrong. Sometimes we use scriptures incorrectly. And it's often because we're immature and we haven't learned all that God would have us learn yet. Sometimes we get it wrong. One of my greatest concerns in my life, I started teaching Sunday school when I was 14 years old. And I tell you, I've matured, I hope, over the years. And my understanding of Scripture is far different today than it was when I was 14. And I lay in bed at night often, not every night, but often. And I tremble at the thought of what I taught those children. Was it true? Or did I cause them to stumble and lead them astray? It's scary and it's sobering. But as teachers and preachers, sometimes we get it wrong. But you see, the church has built in safeguards to that. The church has built in safeguards for you. We encourage you to study the Bible. How many times have you heard it over this pulpit? Study the Bible. Be involved in Bible studies. Read the Bible. It's a safeguard against a preacher getting it wrong. You're encouraged to ask questions. If there's something a preacher or teacher says that you didn't quite understand, maybe they didn't make it clear, we encourage you to ask questions. We encourage you to carry your Bible that you might follow along when God's Word is read. We encourage you to pray for your leaders, pray for your teachers and your preachers that they get it right, that they're led by the Holy Spirit. And although it's quickly being laid aside by many congregations, I want you to think about why we have a closing minister in our worship service. Why do we have that? What's the job of the closing minister? Couldn't you just call on somebody from your seat to pray, as many do now? The job of the closing minister is to bear testimony what they heard was true. That's his job, to bear testimony what it was true, what they heard was correct. I challenge you now, if you're going to survive the information age, you have to be willing to study. You have to be willing to work to gain the knowledge of the truth. And lastly, I'll make it quick. I know I'm out of time. Point number 5. If you're going to survive the information age, be especially careful of mixed truths. Mixed truths. And that's where it's hard. You know, there are a lot of mixtures spoken about in the Bible, love and knowledge, heart and mind, spirit and truth. But beware of the deadly mixture of truth and error. It's deadly. Turn, if you would, quickly. Galatians 1. I just want you to see where it is here, and then you can study it on your own. Galatians chapter 1. The mixture of truth and error. Verse 6, Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel, which is not another, but there may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, say I now, if any man preach any other gospel that ye have received, let him be accursed. Pervert there, it says in verse 7, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert means to corrupt, to take something that's pure and right and truthful and good and add a little something to it. It's like poison in a glass of water. God, I tell you, is not a God of mixture. We think of the word leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Herodians. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They were all mixtures. God is not a God of mixture. There's a great danger in the church today of mixing truth with error. And they lay truth and error side by side. And the truth sort of covers the error. And it makes it hard to detect. Be careful, won't you, of the mixture of truth and error. So that's what I think is the greatest danger for young people today. That young brother that asked me, that's the answer I gave him. The amount of information that's available that you have to process every day is far beyond what I had to do as a youngster, as a teenager. We just didn't have that amount of information. So this morning, I hope that it helped you how to judge, how to evaluate, how to discern what is truth and what is error. Number one, recognize you have an enemy. You have an enemy that's out to destroy you, and he can destroy you by getting you to believe information that's not true. Number two, consider the source. Consider the source of the information you're reading. It's not all written for your good. It's not all written by godly people. Number three, do you have a love for the truth? Do you really want to know the truth? Or do you want to just prove your own position? Number four, are you willing to put in the work and the effort to discern truth from error? And number five, be aware of mixed truths. May God bless you.
Morning, Brother Brian, I believe, gave us what was laid on his heart. We were warned this morning of an enemy that each of us has. We are challenged this morning to know the source of our information. We are encouraged this morning to love the truth and to work, be willing to work toward finding that truth. We are also warned of mixed truths. I hope we take each of these points to heart as we kneel for prayer.